first lesson is from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed the judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the 16th chapter of Romans. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
I didn't have my page marked. Let's see, Luke 1. The gospel, according to Luke 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This isn't what my sermon's about, but as I was reading through that, I was thinking, that's the answer to the question, Mary, did you know? She did, because the angel told her before the baby was born. She knew all about it. So this gospel reading that we just heard today is sometimes called the Annunciation because it's the angel's announcement to Mary about the birth of Jesus. But it's more than that. It's not just an announcement. It's really a call story. It's Mary's call story. And we know there are all sorts of call stories in Scripture, and they follow a pattern, really. It always starts with God's calling someone to do something, like God called Moses to free the Israelites from Pharaoh, God called Jonah to prophesy to Nineveh, God called Mary to have a baby. So God calls someone to do something. And then, in a call story in Scripture, the first response generally is not so positive. Sometimes the person will question God or argue with God or just try to get out of it altogether. Like Moses has a whole list of questions about this call. Jonah flat out runs away. And Mary raises some very valid concerns. And then finally, in a biblical call story, the person called, they just don't seem to have what it takes. They don't seem to be qualified, to be quite honest. Moses is supposed to speak to Pharaoh on behalf of Israel, but he's a terrible speaker. Jonah is supposed to proclaim a hard message of God's judgment and wrath to Nineveh, but he's a coward. And in today's story, Mary is supposed to have a baby, but she's a virgin. Now, Mary's virginity is not the point of this story. That became really important to the patriarchal church later. But the point of this detail is the divinity of Jesus, and more importantly, I think, that God is the one who makes this possible. Just like with Moses and Jonah, Mary is not the most qualified person for the job. In fact, for this particular job, she doesn't seem to make any sense at all. It seems downright impossible. And that's the point. Like Moses and Jonah and all the heroes of Scripture, Mary is called by God to do amazing and impossible things. Things they could not do on their own. Which reminds us that it is God who makes all of these things possible. A virgin shall conceive and give birth to the Son of God. A strange choice. But then that's what God does. God chooses us, this hodgepodge jumble of broken people, otherwise known as the church. God chooses us and calls us to do the impossible. God calls us to make Christ known, to share God's love, to shine the light of Christ in all that we do. God calls us to care for those in need, to end hunger, to end hatred, to end war, to share the love of Christ with every person in every nation until the kingdom of God is fulfilled on earth. God calls us to do the impossible, things beyond us, things we can't possibly do. And yet, it's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do. And God can work miracles. Despite our limits, despite our flaws, despite our selfishness and our doubt, God uses us. God uses us in all sorts of big and small ways to make the impossible possible. God uses us to feed the hungry, right? We know that through our own food pantry, through donations to Bread for the World or ELCA Hunger Appeal. God uses us to end hatred whenever we practice forgiveness, whenever we welcome those who the world despises, whenever we speak up and speak out when we hear others defamed or dehumanized. God uses us to make Christ known through proclamation and worship, by sharing our story of God's love for us in our lives, and through every act of kindness and caring. God uses us to be Christ to one another and to share that love that we have been given wherever we go out in the world. When we look at the big picture, it can all feel like too much. It can seem downright impossible. But we can learn from Mary's story. When we hear God's call in our lives, we can learn to simply say, "Here I am," and leave the how up to God. Like I said, this gospel story has been called the Annunciation, and it's often been viewed simply as an announcement of something that's going to happen. And I guess that's what it is. That's what a call is. Being called is God's announcement to us, right? Regardless of our willingness or our readiness, God's call on our lives is an announcement of what will happen and of who we are. Moses spent a lot of time questioning and worrying about the details, but in the end, he was the one that God used to free Israel from Egypt. And Jonah flat out ran and tried to hide from God's call. But in the end, he was the one that God used to speak to Nineveh. And the whole city repented. Mary had no idea how this child would come to be. But despite all logic, she was the one that God used to enter into the world, to come into our lives as one of us. This young girl, unimportant, unnoticed by others, is the one that God called to give birth to a Savior, to mother the hope of all generations, to fulfill God's promises. An announcement. That's what a call is. An announcement of who we are. In our baptism, it is announced that we are children of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We can question that, we can doubt it, and we can feel completely unqualified. But in the end, we are the ones God uses. We are the ones God uses, no matter how unworthy or unprepared or unexpected we may be. God uses us to do the impossible. God uses us to change the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.